welcome to another edition of the Streaking Lawn podcast. Once again, my name is Pierce. I've got Caroline with me for the first time
in
fall season. How's it going, Darns?
Good. Last week's doesn't count because I wasn't here.
That's true.
That was like the preseason warm-up. I had to let everyone get like the jitters out,
yeah.
You know, figure out the system, all that stuff, and now I'm back.
Well, tonight's
ready.
Bound
starters
to be
are back.
Much more lively and optimistic. And we have an exciting special guest tonight returning to the podcast, our first return guest, I believe.
Luke, I think, Walker, so, yeah.
Former Who, current Jacksonville Jaguar. How's it going, Luke?
How's it going, guys? That's pretty high praise right there. First returning guest.
I'm pretty sure that's accurate. We'll get Stat Guy to check on it. But we love you the most. We demand it. That you come back.
The first one to be declared the first time returner.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty special thing.
There's going to be a certificate we'll send you. So after this, just we need to make sure we get your best email address, because we just email them.
Yes. Sure. I'm all about hanging banners. I don't care what they're
doing. Add it to the resume.
You're getting ready to go to your camp. Are you excited? It's camp. Camp's fun,
yeah,
right?
Camp.
You get to like
camp is still a thing years and years later.
Arts and crafts and archery. What do you
like? Yeah, you wish there was zip lines involved and like maybe some paintball, some team building, but no, it's all good. It's a good time of the year. It comes at a good time when you're just starting to have a little too much free time in the summer and people are having too much fun, so they get you back indoors and lock you up and get you back on the straight and narrow.
Did you accomplish a lot during the off season?
I found my inner peace. Yeah, no.
Oh. That's crucial.
No, it's been a good off season. I always tend to make the most of it.
Good stuff. And we talked a lot last week with Justin Ferber about like the recruiting for UVA. So I think what we're going to talk about tonight is just maybe general impressions of the team after their first year and looking forward to Bronco Mendenhall's second year UVA. And I know you try and catch some games. How do you think that first season went?
Yeah, I mean, it's all in that situation. Obviously, I went through it with Coach London, but that's a tough situation. I know I do get to catch most of the games on Saturdays, and especially last year being, you know, injured and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys say what you will about the record, but every time they're out there, they're fighting, they're playing hard. You can tell that, you know, the program's kind of run the right way.
Yeah, definitely. So I think you didn't see the quit.
Yeah, so it's fun to watch them regardless.
Good stuff.
And they were in every game, which, you know, is or isn't, well, almost every game.
Almost every game.
Yeah, almost every game. And I don't know if that makes it better or worse to know that they're right there, but it is, I agree. I mean, I think that first loss really was something that gave Coach Mendenhall like an idea of like how far we had to go to, like he mentioned, to like change the culture, because I was at that game and you definitely, there was a feeling in the stands and you could kind of catch a vibe from the field that it was almost like an, oh no, here we go again. Like the energy level was so high at the beginning of the game, but by the time like the half rolled through and you're like losing to Richmond, you're just kind of like, crap, nothing's changed. We've worked so hard in the off season. Like there was definitely a Debbie Downer kind of a feel. The body language wasn't great. The crowd was definitely saying it. Like, so I think that's a huge mental piece to overcome that maybe people do. Or I don't know if people really take that into account, but you know, it's definitely a hurdle that exists.
Yeah. And Luke, could you talk about coming into UVA during a coaching change? I mean, you committed to Gross staff, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, but by the time you enrolled, it was London staff.
Yeah, I had the first year I was there was under Grow.
Gotcha.
That was the William and Mary year where we were robbed. The other team kept taking the ball from us a bunch of times.
Like literally, they were robbed. They were stealing it from them.
It was thievery. No, it's always a difficult situation because, like Caroline said, it's all about culture change, and you want whoever's in charge to be able to implement their culture and then recruit to their culture and coach, you know, through several years of their culture, because it, you know, at some point the players need to take ownership. So it's not something that happens overnight. And, you know, last year, obviously record wise was, must have been tough on them, but you know, they seem to be doing the right things. You see all the workout videos. They look like they're going through, you know, paying the price that it takes to be great, but
yeah,
tough. You got to be able to, you got to be able to recruit, and regardless of culture and all that stuff in college football, you got to be able to recruit good players and win.
For sure.
I have a quick question for you, Luke. In that sense, like, what do you tell the fans right now? Like, what's a reasonable amount of time, given the understanding of like the frustration that might live and exist within Virginia fans over the last 8 to 10 years of whatever? How long, like, what is a reasonable amount of time to give Bronco and his staff to do that, to recruit to his system, to get his guys, to implement what he wants to see on the field? And how much of that do you think will be helped by the way they're scheduling vice what some of the ambitious scheduling that you saw under London?
Yeah, sure. Scheduling is a huge part of it in college football, because I think we talked about it last time I was on here. It's all about perception, and not just outside the locker room, but inside the locker room. You need to build confidence in these guys that haven't had success in years. And the only way to do that is by scheduling. You know, it's not like you're scheduling to beat guys, but you're scheduling in a realistic way to build something, and not just to show up on the scene day one. You got to climb the hill.
Yeah.
But I mean, on top of that, it's just going to be recruiting. Like when London took over, Al Groh had a resume for years of putting guys in the NFL, and he was recruiting the right kind of guys, and that kind of fizzled out over the years. So somehow that pipeline needs to come back, and then, you know, the wins will kind of follow.
Sure. But the recruiting doesn't pump up until the wins start coming, right?
Yeah. Well, how do you, once chicken or the egg, what has to come first, the recruits or the wins? And if you don't have one, how do you get the other?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's obviously a good point, but and that part is through the culture and how they are developing players. And I mean, there's a lot of like 2- and 3-star guys that found success in that program and were able to turn it around and have good years there.
Yeah, particularly linemen. You know,
linemen especially. Mm-hmm. And at Virginia, to be realistic, you're recruiting a special kind of player, so it's not like you're necessarily advertising your program to players that just care about winning. Hopefully, you know, there's guys out there that want to be part of something that's a little bigger, but in a lot of situations that might be a pipe dream. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I'm pretty excited that we're getting a kicker, like a really good kicker in, as far as like, and I'm not even being like sarcastic, like a jerk. I think it's like such a huge piece to have the confidence in the kicking game that didn't necessarily
exist. We used to have awesome kickers every year.
I know. Connor Hughes, man. That guy was a mule.
Jarrett, DJ Six.
Yep.
Greatest kicker in UGA history.
I love solid. I remember when I was in school, there was a really bad, like, there was a really bad punter, and you don't really appreciate punters until you have a really bad punter. But small story, he hit on my roommate at the library one day, and she came back and was like, yeah, some dude was talking to me at the library and was like, I guess he's the punter on the football team. And I was like, he told you that? Like, while he was hitting on you? That was something.
Strong game.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I used
That's
to walk
such
around.
A punter move, like hitting on the girl at the library.
I would walk around and tell people I was the punter on the kick football. It was probably me, actually.
It's actually possible.
Actually, I still say that.
Yeah, I still use that game.
Back in 2007, I was the punter on the UVA football team. So he got his current girlfriend.
Yeah. Anyway, I will say with the talent level, one thing that sticks out about like a culture change, and I think particularly to Mendenhall's staff, you heard a lot like, oh man, Bronco's really going to, you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard practices. They're really going to have to earn it. You see that in his language. You see that coming from like former BYU players. Well, we've got a handful of top recruit guys who go in the league last year who came back in Quinn Blanding, Andrew Brown, Micah Kaiser. I think that speaks well for Bronco to be able to get them to buy into it after winning only 2 games. You know, who's turning down the potential money to come back to an admittedly struggling team? I mean, that's impressive to me. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Luke.
Yeah, for sure. Those guys, I mean, it just speaks to their high character, and those are guys that you know, Virginia should look to recruit guys that, mm-hmm. you know, are willing to stand behind a program and help build it. But certainly, I mean, anyone that comes into a school, like when you're like a young guy and you like see the best players on the team doing like the things the right way, mm-hmm. That's how like you kind of get that snowball effect for that culture to take over. But no, I mean, that speaks high volumes. They have a few guys like all ACC, and for a team that isn't predicted to win a ton of games, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's always been you were always going to have those star guys. Maybe that was, I think, a critique of the UVA program was like they keep putting people into the NFL, but maxing out at 6 or 7 or 8 wins. Oh, for the days when that was our ceiling and we were getting frustrated by 7. Right. Jesus. But I think there's some optimism for sure surrounding this year with the QB coming back. He showed flashes, Ben Kurt.
And fully healthy. I think that's going to be a huge piece that he was able to stay healthy. Yeah, well, he was able to, apparently he slimmed down, like lost like 15 or 20 pounds. I think that's what it was. Anyway, let's just go with that. He lost 40 pounds.
He lost an undisclosed amount of weight.
Yes. But gained all of it in good muscle mass. But no, apparently he's lost a few pounds, which has allowed him to be a little bit more mobile, and the pressure is different on his knee and stuff. And I read somewhere, hashtag sources, I don't know. I read somewhere the 2 games before that he had, like, felt the best, like had I think some stuff done to his knee, were the 2 wins. So it's kind of mm-hmm. like, all right, when he felt his best were like his best performances, which is not shocking. It makes sense. However, if you if that's such a huge piece, because how many of those games, I'm not putting I'm not putting losses on Kurt Benkert's shoulders because it's a whole team effort, but there were several instances in games where either we had a chance to drive and make something happen and win the game, or I think it was the Wake Forest game where there was a late interception return for a touchdown, or, you know, for good field position that ended up putting them in front. So if some of these things, you know, maybe if he plays the whole game against Virginia Tech, that could be strong.
Was that injury related? That, like, sorry to interrupt, but
no, that's okay. I think
the quarterback switching in the Tech game, was that injury related?
I don't think it was.
I want to say that I wish it were, but no. I think that was just like, what do we have to lose?
I think they were trying to confuse the Hokies into submission.
Like, instead, they just confused all of us into crying. So. It's horrible.
And like I said, I said this last week, that literally that one thing, the QB shuffling, gives me so much pause in my off-season orange and blue glasses optimism, trying to be like, yeah, they're going to – this is year 2. They're going to do well, maybe even make a bowl. And then I just think back to that.
Yeah, one of his orange and blue lenses fell out. It's just blue now.
Yeah, it's just – I don't know how that can be a thing, and yet it was. So what do you think, Luke? What's the alum – atmosphere? Is it, do people like the staff? Are there maybe both sides, some people uncomfortable with them, or are people pessimistic, or what's the chatter among you all?
I think, like, my you know, the guys I still keep in touch with are you know, they're here and there. Like, they like what he's doing as far as bringing some of the older guys back and help, like, allowing the younger players to kind of learn, you know, not just in the football side of things, but also, like, through community outreach with the former players and getting them to, you know, have those connections, building, you know, trees of contacts. He does a good job with that. And obviously on the football field, you know, guys just want to see a winning team. And it's hard for my generation of players, the guys that I played with, because we didn't win any games either. So I think we understand it's a process. And, like, you know, these guys are busting their butts. Like, it's not like they're – college kids, you know, they tend to get a tough break of it, but it takes time. And a huge part is the quarterback in college football. It's like, it's just a reality. You see, like, teams that are winning either run the crap out of the ball or they got a good quarterback. And yeah, I mean, health is big. And since I've been watching and being a part of Virginia football, actually, like, I guess it started right when I got there. It's kind of been quarterback controversy. That's like the end thing.
Yeah. Let's not with that.
Well, I don't think we're going to have to worry about knock on wood this year.
Well, unless he starts for Virginia Tech, like ESPN told us today.
That was an interesting breaking news headline.
Wait, what? You know I hope there was someone sitting there that was just like, wait, I'm sorry, what? Like,
more people screw that up than like you guys could ever imagine. Like I'll be wearing Virginia stuff all over the country and people will be like, oh, Virginia Tech. Like,
Do you have a go-to?
Take your face out of my face.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, do you have a go-to? Because I experienced the same thing. Not only that, but like when I was Navy and I'd be on deployment, like on a base, like in a foreign country, and someone like, I remember it was like a British or Australian guy was like, oh, Virginia Tech? And I was like, no, what? No. You're like trying not to get mad at him. But did you have like do you have a go-to when someone says that? Is there like a witty comeback or a...
Yeah. Yeah, no, mostly just like dejection.
Yeah. Embarrassment. Start kicking
and just
rocks.
Overall general sadness. Yeah, it's like, it's tough.
No. This is the actual flagship school of the yeah. state, you know.
Well, is that Virginia Tech? Ah, come on. Yes, no. Dang it.
Not again.
That was usually my reaction, too, actually.
Well, Rocco's gonna
I need to get a winning. Woody comeback, but it's just too sad sometimes.
I know. Yeah. I would every once in a while get Vanderbilt too, which always threw me for a loop. I was like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, I guess they do have a V. Yeah. but that one wasn't as common.
More similar type of program, maybe, or institution.
Luke, when you look at if you look at the schedule for this season, like, what stands out to you? Is there any game in there that you think is a surefire win? And like, I know there's also Virginia has actually played really well against Louisville, which has been dubbed our, permanent cross
New Maryland.
Yeah. New Maryland. So like when you look at the schedule this year, what is your take on the schedule? Like, how do you think that what's your season projection? Like, how do you think that they'll fare? What games stick out as ones that you either want to see that you think could be a great matchup or ones that you will definitely not be watching because it's probably going to be pretty terrifying?
I mean, I don't get to choose. I usually try to watch as many as I can, but regardless, because, you know, it's like they come few and far between. But I'll be focused on, you know, a lot of people make a lot to do about the out-of-conference schedules, but it's mostly about how they match up against, you know, the North Carolinas, the Virginia Techs, the schools that they recruit against. And you just want to see how they can compete against those teams. It's like, you know, the running game's going to be there. I feel like with our team, like in the system that they run and Broncos, or, you know, the offensive coordinator's tendencies seem to be like establish a dominant running game. And at times last year they had it. So as long as you can run the game in the ACC, you're going to give yourself a chance, but they're going to have to match up with those schools that are going to be in their backyard recruiting, you know, the guys that they need to build a program there. And so North Carolina, I don't know when the last time we beat. No, we haven't beaten them recently.
We've
Virginia Tech, obviously, in years. So, yeah, those are going to be the games that, like, I think most guys are going to be focused on.
I think the UNC one could end up being like actually a pretty good game just because they lost a lot of players from last year. So I think it'll be a little bit closer because I completely agree on the run game. I'm actually really excited. I was a really big fan of Smoke. I mean, who isn't? Like, he ran the hell out of the ball. Was a great receiver. But I think with like Jordan Ellis and Oz and Daniel Hamm, like I'm really excited about some of these like real workhorses that they have like behind the ball. Like I just think those guys can get their legs churning and really do some damage. What players are you most excited to see? Or who you
I'm watching? Excited. I mean, like obviously we talked about like Quinn, Micah, Kirk, the quarterback. But I'm excited for a guy like Jack McDonald. Jack McDonald's been in the program for 5 years. He's you know, played a bunch of positions along the line of scrimmage. Guy like Jack English, another offensive lineman, obviously I'm you know, playing my favorite too, but a guy that came into the program as a defensive lineman is going to start left tackle in the senior year next year. There's a few guys like that, that, you know, I've been watching grow over the years that weren't necessarily blue chip prospects. Like, you got a guy like Andrew Brown who you're excited for. Seems to me like, you know, social media at least, like that, you know, he's focused and he's working towards a goal. But you like to see those guys that come in and develop because those are the guys that are going to be the lifeblood of a program like Virginia.
So anyone named Jack really is what I got from that.
So if your name is Jack and you play football, I'm rooting for you.
Huge fan.
There's a couple guys coming in from graduate or from other schools as grad transfers, so they get to play immediately, and a couple on the offensive line. I'm curious, you know, obviously every coaching staff has its own idiosyncrasies and strategy, and there's new, you know, plays to learn and things like that. Being a UVA grad, do you think there's anything, I don't know, maybe particular to the school or something that people might not consider as like a transition, something they got to know to show up and immediate, like both of these guys are slotted to start on the line most likely, and they haven't had that buffer year as a transfer. Is there anything maybe they aren't expecting and should know about, or that fans might not know that might be a weird transition for them, whether it be like UVA particular?
I'm sure there's always, obviously I've never been in that situation, but you know, if you're going to do it anywhere, I feel like Virginia is a decent place to do it. Cause hopefully that the coaches have done their homework and these kids, you know, they can handle the rigors that come with, you know, going to school there. But, but when you're building a new program like this, and there's a lot of new involved in it in the first year or two, I'm sure as a new guy it's kind of easy to relate to, you know, some of maybe the coaches that are new, or maybe a couple other transfers. Like, you kind of, it's a little easier than trying to transfer into, you know, say a program that's been established with you know, coaching staff for a long time. So at least that is there for them to come into it. But other than that, man, it's all about production. I mean, like, These guys, they've played other places. They know what it's like to, you know, play at the high level, and you got to produce. And there's no different at, you know, a school like Virginia.
Yeah, and they're gonna need them. I mean, the big thing is the depth wasn't there, and you saw that a lot last year. So hopefully, hopefully they get it going.
I have some rapid fire stuff for you. all right, best name on the team: Hassis Dubois, Dylan Rankensmeyer, or Evan Butts? Where are you taking?
Butts are in.
That always makes me laugh. I'm such a CJ Stalker is a close finisher too. Harrison Turlington is also very strong.
Those are all pretty good.
Who's that? Rankensteiker?
Rankensmeyer?
Rankensmeyer.
Rankensmeyer. Dylan.
I feel like you would put that on like a Cuban sandwich or something.
Maybe hold the Rankensmeyer. I was too much last week. It was heartburn. That's a good one. All right. Favorite place, if you're going to Charlottesville tomorrow, where do you have to stop to eat? One spot. Bojangles?
Little John's to get the Rankensmeyer.
You know, honestly, an underrated part of Charlottesville is that little chicken strip there.
Yeah,
they got every chicken joint you could ever want in your life, and then like you mix in a little Cold Stone. Time I come now, there's a little something different. But that chicken strip is, yeah. Come on, sure.
Yeah, I mean, recently.
Oh, not recently. No. But it was there in my fifth year while I was in school, and yeah.
Oh man, if you should have now, there's some great spots, like that whole like shopping center right there where they put the movie theater in. They've got some great restaurants in there, really good coffee shops. The whole, every time I go, I'm like, this,
you're talking about Stonefield?
Yeah, Stonefield.
That movie theater? Okay, because there's the Alamo new movie theater in the where the Wegmans is. We can just talk about movie theaters now.
There's a Wegmans in Charlottesville?
Hell yeah, there's a Wegmans. And it's in the south side, so you don't have to get on 29 to get there. It's beautiful.
That wow was like a legit wow, like excited wow. I love that.
Do you know there's a Trader Joe's?
It's like a jealous, like I'm looking at ways to re-enroll.
We have excellent graduate programs at the university.
poor Harry Teeter won't know what happened when people stop buying his subs and just start buying up all the Wegmans.
And the Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Wow,
now we don't even go to the Trader Joe's because the Wegmans is closer. But anyway.
It's insane. There's a new movie theater. The Downtown Mall movie theater is now one of those like
you can drink
plus movie theaters. Yeah. Like you can buy drinks.
You can drink.
Yeah. Pro tip, Carolina. You can order a double wine at that movie theater and they just pull out like a 20 ounce and fill it with wine.
That's amazing.
Some undergrad just comes back with a box of Franzia.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go watch Dunkirk now with my box of
wine. Just cry into my box of wine during Dunkirk. All right, Game of Thrones question. If Virginia football is a character on Game of Thrones, who would that be and why?
If Virginia football was a character on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, who is the most, like...
Oh, wow.
There's so many sad answers to come up.
There are so many sad answers, and answers that, like, probably shouldn't be used, right?
Yeah.
Keep it clean.
Did you see in the first, spoiler alert for all you losers who haven't seen yet, in the first, this is bad that I'm even saying this, but whatever, if I can say it, anyone can say it. When Samwell is, you know, cleaning out the latrines and then serving the porridge, and then it's like over and over and over and over again. That
I knew it was going to be Sam Tarly. he tries so hard.
I think he's saying the sequence is Virginia football.
Oh.
No, we're like Sojourner Mormont, just looking for the cure, man.
Yes, I like that. That's a good one.
That sounds good.
He might be out there. Who knows?
We beat Duke last year. I mean, all is not hopeless. We just
anything is possible.
It's remember when Duke football was the doormat? I remember when Duke football was the doormat.
Even back when I was in school and they beat us every year, regardless, except for like maybe once or twice. Like it used to be like the three games on our schedule we would like look at and be like, yeah, we'd win those games.
Yeah.
Whatever 1AA school we're playing, Duke and Miami. I'm like, yeah, we probably beat
them. We're going to beat Miami.
Miami's like the one.
We beat Miami like every year. Miami was it was great. They didn't want to play us. You know, we were having the time. We were just playing out of our butts. Like, our fans will storm the field if we beat you, like, no matter the record. The perfect recipe for just to beat them every year.
Just a fun little Saturday.
I know.
Look at it and be like, game.
Oh, that was amazing. Getting down the Orange Bowl. Was it 36-0?
It was 48-0.
48-0.
And we scored the first touchdown, and my friends all looked at me and went, hey, we scored first. And they went, so are you confident now, Pierce? Are we going to win? I said, we're going to win by 48. Swear to God, that's true. It was 48-0, the final whistle. And then they all called me a witch and threw things at me.
Yeah, geez, dude, you're like a prophet.
That's the only thing I've ever gotten right. I should have bought lottery tickets that night, I guess.
What Game of Thrones character are you? You're like Bran.
Yeah. Ooh. I'll take it.
That's mean, Luke. That's mean.
Bran is very important, okay?
But no one wants to hear Bran's story.
You said that's mean? This dude can bend time around his pinky finger.
Bend time around his pinky finger. All right, so what do you think? What's your season outlook? Like, what pick wins, losses? Okay, so, like, what's the record going to be? Is Virginia going to a bowl game? And will Virginia beat Virginia Tech? Those are your two big questions.
Virginia is going to go out there. They're going to have a ton of fun. They're going to try hard.
All right.
It's really impossible to tell. I mean, it's impossible to tell.
Yeah.
If the quarterback plays well, they'll be able to win 4, 5, 6 games and be in contention for a bowl game. But that's a program in transition, and they're still a ways away from being yearly dominant competitors. Yeah. But the thing about like that situation, any situation in football, it doesn't matter like what anyone says, because no one knows except for the guys in the room. Like, no one knows who's, like, going to start or who's the talented players or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all that matters is what is going on there now.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, at least perception-wise, I don't know. I think you guys tend to agree a little bit. Like, perception-wise, the right things are going on there. And it's just a matter of time and the right things happening at the right place and getting lucky.
Well, the schedule is favorable. I mean, you look at the ACC and they avoid playing the big two outside of Louisville in the Atlantic. And I think people are picking Miami to win the Coastal. I guess they're returning a lot, but
Miami Pitt, back.
Pitt lost Connor and their Peterman, their QB. BC isn't very good. UNC lost a ton. Duke wasn't very good last year, and they lost their QB. You know, the Hokies lost their QB. Like this, like you said, Caroline, they were in a lot of those games. Yeah. They were losses, and this team has a little more depth, has another year of recruiting. So I hate to spend the whole time just be like, wah, wah, because, you know, maybe it'll work out. But then I think I've felt this way every other offseason ever. and then I get really mad when we lose to Richmond and stuff, so I want to temper.
I think they do it. I think they go 3-1 in the non-con, lose at Boise State. I think they win the first three. I think they're all winnable games. I think Indiana is the biggest toss-up.
Yeah.
I think that's actually pretty good. Like, that'll be a good gauge.
You going to that game up in Boise State?
Hell no.
Yeah, go ahead and pass on that one.
I got, like, a job. I can't get to Boise Friday at 8 p.m.
Great fans. What great fans you guys are.
Friday at 8 p.m. up in Boise State.
Can you send me the
Jaguars jet?
Does Streak in the Lawn have a jet? If you find me a plane that'll take me.
I'll call Teresa Sullivan. Jaguars jet, right?
Is Teresa Sullivan.
Yeah, sure. We'll jump on the Jaguar jet. And we'll all go out there.
Yes.
All right.
Let's do this. Yeah, I think like you said that's a favorable. Like the games that Virginia has at home this season are Duke, Boston College, Georgia Tech, and Virginia Tech. And Georgia Tech perennially, like Bronco, has been able to do very well against the option, the triple option. So I think you saw a little bit of it last year. Like they didn't, you know, if I remember correctly, it was one of those games that
they looked like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah. And then totally fell apart at the end. And it was horribly depressing. One of those games. So, you know, if that kind of thing, like if they can build on what happened last year, then I think you only need to steal a couple or steal one when it comes to at North Carolina, at Pitt, at Louisville and at Miami. And then maybe we're talking Military Bowl up at DC. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It doesn't take much.
If they can win three games,
12 men on the field situation.
Oh my god!
Khalik, right, get off the field
like one time.
Khalik, get off the field.
Were you watching the Louisville game live, Luke, last year? The one the Hail Mary.
Yes.
And did you see it coming after watching the Notre Dame game the year before?
The best part about the Notre Dame game is I had to leave. I have like 3 minutes left in the game. So like I jump in the car, drive downtown for that was Saturday night before Sunday game, obviously. And I don't know what happened, so I'm not listening to the game or anything in my car. Yeah. And then my phone just kept going, and I just like rolled my eyes. Like it happened. I don't know how it happened, but it happened.
Yeah,
and everyone is telling me how it happened.
I mean, we were just sitting there going, "No, I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling for it." And then Hail Mary, and we're like, "Okay."
Yeah,
they were so close in that Louisville game to what was it? They almost forced the on the fourth down. They almost had him.
Yeah.
It's like oh my god, that was brutal. Like I don't know how many times a fan base can be expected to go through this.
Like it was, well, I think Pierce can attest to this too as a lifelong Caps fan, much longer and at a much higher level.
Yeah. And I'm a Detroit Lions fan, so it never gets any better.
Wait, this isn't a Jaguars podcast?
I do have a question. I know you haven't been to camp yet and so seen it in person. Is Fournette the truth? Should I draft him in my fantasy leagues?
Well, I mean, with the offensive line in Jacksonville, like, it doesn't matter who's back there.
Anybody could run for
a million yards. Yeah, obviously. Right. So, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell if running backs with no pads on.
Yeah.
Seems like a nice kid, though.
Well, that's good.
I'll draft him in my nice kid league.
Yeah.
Good. Nice kid points. Yeah, no, in fantasy football, it's important, like running the UVA program, to only bring in high character guys.
High character players.
Ezekiel Elliott, no sir, he's not coming.
You're honored. Very honorable.
Yeah, exactly. I win the moral victory every year. Yeah,
how much time?
I don't have Roethlisberger, so there it goes.
Are you Luke, are you more of a landing in Jacksonville person or a Jacksonville Beach person?
Well, the landing is where most of the cool people hang out, so I don't usually go down there. I usually just hang out at the beach.
I used to live in Jacksonville.
I've been out the beach now for the 3 years that I've been out here, going on four. It's awesome. Nice. As awesome as it can be. Not being in the traffic-filled hustle and bustle of D.C.
Yeah.
Who doesn't
yeah.
miss that, right?
I know.
No, it's been a good couple of years down here in Jacksonville Beach. I know you're critical of it, Caroline.
I know.
Give it a chance.
One of our interns this year at work, he goes to school at Jacksonville, plays lacrosse there. And so I'm always giving him a hard time, like, oh, you mean the 45 minutes it takes to get anywhere?
Oh, it's like half as much as in some actual big metropolitan cities. So
that's true. You actually have to go a certain, you know, like I always joked, like when I was living in Washington State, like to go to the movies, it would take 45 minutes, but I drove 35 miles. In DC, it would take 45 minutes, but I only went three. So it's always, you know,
that's why I live in Charlotte.
Everywhere has their benefits.
Yes. Primarily Charlottesville.
Luke, have you ever been part?
Brings me to my next option. Oh. If you guys want to buy real estate in Boise.
Boise?
A great time for you to go check it out.
I thought you were going to sell us on Jacksonville, and I was like, Florida prices, I don't know. There might not be Florida in a few years anyway, so.
Atlantis.
Yeah, exactly. Luke, have you ever been a part of the my alma mater's playing your alma mater bet with a teammate?
I thought you were about to ask me if I was. I don't know what you were about to ask me. I thought maybe a secret society was getting thrown in there, or maybe like a wild accusation.
I know that was a lot of complicated language. I know I was using Latin there. You know what I mean.
Have you ever, oh gosh, this podcast just took a weird turn.
Yeah, he starts deleting text messages.
Never have I ever.
Luke, we can't see them. I don't know what you're doing.
But do you ever have to wear somebody else's jersey because they beat UVA?
Yeah.
Or the other way around.
Usually when I make, and I am like I have been my whole life, a bit of a loudmouth in those situations. Which is interesting coming from the perspective of, you know, not winning a ton of games and, you know, in the program. But, and I'm not indicting myself here. I'm a big, when I bet with people on the Hoos, I have to take the points. And they cover a lot.
Yeah.
And they cover a lot. So, yeah, Virginia, if you play your cards right, they're a wonderful betting team.
Awesome. I never do
so
it.
You gotta. It's all about you. Gotta talk. You gotta work people because no one's willing to give you the 30 points that usually come along with that. You gotta like you know you gotta sweet talk them a little bit.
Well, you gotta find the Miami guys.
Yeah. Oh, dude, don't worry. And my closest Miami guy just got a bunch of money, so he'll be on the hook this year for that Miami game. He'll be on the hook big time.
Are you guys going to go? I think it's down there.
Show up.
That's true. It's
you
could
get great seats because no one goes to any Miami games. So.
That's true.
Yeah, he can buy a whole section.
All right, we're coming. We're going with you. Yeah.
All right, Luke's buying us all seats. We're going to Florida.
We're flying the Jag plane, too.
Yes. All right, my dreams are coming true.
All right, everything that we had hoped for in this podcast is now been achieved.
Well, thanks a bunch for joining us, Luke. We appreciate it. It's a pleasure. We'll come up with more silly questions to ask you next time. We have
like next week and come back on.
Have you been three times tweeting at other minor league baseball stadiums?
Oh, I thought we talked about when this podcast started about things we weren't going to talk about.
What? You did not bring that up. That was not on your don't bring this up list.
Here's the thing about that whole situation. If UVA's baseball team just didn't lose to Wake Forest that day, maybe my pride would still be not in tatters. But it's okay. It's okay because I'm having a great time today in my last day of official freedom before camp starts.
Mm-hmm.
Talking UVA football, which I know we all just like really just have a deep passion, burning passion for it.
But of course.
And not even minor league baseball teams can get me upset today.
That's good. You should never let a minor league baseball team upset you, no matter what.
I think no, that's the interesting part is like, I work for the Jaguars. So I'm not like, that probably ripped the hearts out of fans more than it did to me. But hey, so fair. Goes it.
Do you get to go to London this year? I feel like you guys play in London every year.
We go every year.
Yeah.
It's because the food is so good that we just can't get enough and we just go bad.
Fish every chips, year. Boiled meat, and beans on toast.
I didn't go last year because I was on IR, but the last 2 years before that, we went to a fine Mexican restaurant. I would equate it to El Rapio's, El Jaripero. What's that place in Charlottesville?
Fine, yeah, her
yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but
it's,
I'm not even
it's not Amigos. Amigos turned into Christians. So.
Yeah, and thank goodness it did, by the way.
Yeah, that's an upgrade. Excellent. Well, we'll be sure to find you at Little John's on your next encounter into the hook. And we can talk basketball, we can talk baseball, we can talk all kinds of sports on the internet. Optimism.
Optimism abound.
This Love is the it. Year for how's the basketball squad looking this year?
Well, they got some redshirt freshmen, guys who are here and redshirted, who were four-star guys who I think are going to contribute that people are sleeping on, DeAndre Hunter and Jay Huff. And if those guys contribute as well as I think they will, they're going to be solid, I think. Looking at a similar floor to last season, maybe similar ceiling too. I don't think we're going one seed again or anything. But
I think this year they could be sneaky good. Like they're being predicted anywhere from 7th to 9th in the ACC, which I think is a little low. Mm. But I think if they progress like they should, I think next year, like watch out, this team's going to be really good. So I think this could be an interesting year that maybe people aren't used to because we might not start the season in the top 25, which shocker. It's been like 4 years since that happened, which is mind blowing in itself.
It's going to be weird watching with no London Piranhas.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
it's going to be eerie.
Yeah.
We got Kyle Guy.
That's for sure.
Kyle Guy cut his man bun off. So now people will shut up about it.
That's sad news.
Yeah, I agree. I, you know, but it's his hair. Not gonna tweet at him.
Well, maybe we should start tweeting at him.
And okay. Just, you know, grow it back.
Plant the seed.
Everyone, tweet at Kyle.
I think Virginia needed a man bun on the basketball court, but it's okay, Kyle. If you're listening, it's okay. just think about it. You know,
maybe one of the other guys can grow one.
Jack Salt.
Ooh, yeah. Well, we'll get more Jacksonville Jaguars to tweet at Kyle about his hair, and then he really won't know what's going on.
And guys, listen, I know a thing or two about internet shaming, so you know, I can really take this thing by the horns, right. And we could get it going. Well, that man bun's back by November.
All right. Well, I'm entrusting you with that. I guess that's a good note to end on. We'll let you go. I know you need your sleep for tomorrow, bright and early archery class at camp or whatever the fuck. Windspring.
Yeah, I gotta pack my lunch.
Yeah,
you're right. Share that with one of the other players.
Thanks again. We'll have you back soon. Caroline, thank you for being here too.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, Luke. That was fun.
I'm going to close things up and say go Hoos. All right.